It's Good Morning Ozarks. Our good friend Bobby Charles with us. Bobby, couldn't wait to get back with you, buddy. Good morning.
No, great to be back on again.
Well, I'll tell you, Bobby, it's a little chilly this morning in Branson, Missouri. How are things? Are you in Maine or Washington today?
In Maine at the moment, and the seasons are turning here as well.
Well, my family, my oldest son and his family are headed up to Maine next week, and as they go by the evergreens and wave at them, hope they have a great time. Bobby, I want you to meet somebody, a lady that did the program with me for a number of years, is Sheila Art. Sheila, this is Bobby Charles.
Good morning.
Good to meet you, Sheila.
I don't have any sound in my ear here.
Under here.
Okay. I've forgotten. Yeah, good to have you this morning, Bobby.
And
well, it's always good to be here. Yep.
You know, Sheila, Bobby was in the Bush administration. He was Assistant Secretary of State under Colin Powell and just has insight that we love here on Good Morning Ozarks. Well, right off the bat, I have a couple of questions that I can't figure out, but knowing that you were going to be on the program, Bobby, I could do it and ask you, and I knew you would know. The pandemic is over.
Sometimes it is.
Well, that's what Joe Biden said. But if it's over, then why are there still vaccine requirements? Can you walk me through that, Bobby?
Well, you know, at first, let me say, by the way, my principal time these days is working with older Americans as as the spokesperson for AMAC, which is a great group. Anybody who's conservative and wants the benefits in these bad economic times should go to AMAC.us. And we also have things posted on exactly this topic, as well as Social Security and veterans benefits and all the rest.
Okay.
But the short answer...
Can I ask you, this is like an alternative to the other...
Yes.
Right, okay.
It certainly is. And in fact, you know, the beautiful thing about AMAC is that they are active in virtually every state legislature, in virtually defending the Bill of Rights across the board. Where have you been?
I've been looking for you.
Oh, he's been on the program a lot.
Yeah, well, I should be listening.
You know, if you go to AMAC.us, you will see also a fresh column by me every day, as well as lots of other people. And they, I mean, you know, the folks that run AMAC are always at the front of all the news cycles, and their magazine is probably better than Time Magazine. It's just an extraordinary organization for pennies on the dollar. So the short answer is, I think, Charlie, that we're in a state of, on more than one issue, we're in a state of national contradiction where you have lots of people who understand reality, and it's being contradicted by this Biden administration, and the only people that sort that out ultimately are the courts and you as an individual. So in Maine, I find very few people still wearing masks. Down in Washington, D.C., I find more people wearing masks, but at the same time, doctors talk to me, and I'm not a doctor, but the doctors that have talked to me tell me that as that the COVID virus evolved, it becomes less and less there's a medical word for it, but basically less and less severe. And it may be easy to catch the same way a common cold is easy to catch. But at the end of the day, it all begins to equalize. And the problem is, in my opinion, this whole thing got politicized from the outset by Mr. Fauci and by the Biden administration. And, you know, I like hearing that it's over, because I think the alternative is for the Democrats to go bonkers and try to, redistribute ballots to everybody and re-justify, you know, ballot harvesting and all the things that really created tremendous uncertainty in the last cycle.
You know, you hear from the administration it's over, but yet Nancy Pelosi, as the head of the House, continues to ask for remote voting from her constituents. Can you tell me about that?
Well, look, the Constitution and statute really expect people to be present when they vote in the House and in the Senate. But it becomes cheap, easy, and you can, slam dunk things if people just, wave and nod on their way by. And I think, it's a cheapening of the democratic process. It's not justified. Republicans have been pushing that votes in person be done, because that's what's really required. and that this really isn't justified. But, you know, honestly, Nancy Pelosi violates every norm there is out there. She seems indifferent to the popular opinion of average Americans. And when you can turn around and say something like this new commitment to America, which is about preserving fundamental rights, the First Amendment's, you know, rights, the Second Amendment's rights, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth, the Sixth, the Ninth, the Tenth, and then it's about preserving our energy, affordable energy. I mean, really affordable energy as you know, winter heating costs come on, and it's about getting our dollar back to being stable instead of runaway inflation. Mm-hmm. You know, all of that is described by Nancy Pelosi as extremist. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, you know, I don't know what universe she lives in, but it's not one I want to live in. Mm-hmm.
She, I don't know if you saw it the other day, she made the, I think, the mistake. There was some music festival in New York or a show of some type. She decided to go on stage and make some type of a environmental comment. I don't know if you saw it or not. She goes on stage, and I saw the guy doing the video with his phone. It was not pleasant. Mm. They booed her like crazy. Mm. This was in New York. I want to change horses for just a moment, Sheila. I got a call from a local banker yesterday because I was concerned about something locally that affects everybody. Now, what it does when I say everybody, you take a real estate developer and says, you know what, I'm looking at that project over there, and it's about 30 acres, and we need housing, or we need other things. And I saw the basis points go up again, 0.75.
Yep, 75.
0.75. So I ask the banker, knowing the rules of most banks, you will have a prime, correct? And they will loan to their best clients, some at prime, some one over, some two or plus, okay? So I asked him, where is that? And he said, the New York prime for them, 6.5%, Bobby Charles. Now, you add a percent to that at 7.5, add the 2 and 1.5 to there. Wait a minute. We're hearing some numbers that makes me say, wait a minute, I can't do the project now.
Right.
It's a sad turn, and I will tell you, I mean, so one of my degrees is economics, and it's a sad turn for two reasons. First, all of this interest rate hike by the Fed is intended to turn down the volume on inflation. And you could ask yourself, well, now how does that work? And the way that works is that the assumption that the Fed is making is that we have a runaway growth economy, and that what you want to do is slow down the incredible demand that is swamping a high level of supply. And why, and how does that happen? If you had a runaway growth economy, you'd have growth-based inflation, which is to say that you'd be outstripping, demand would be outstripping supply at a massive level, and the only way you're going to get that under control is to disincentivize people continuing to consume and buy. And how do you disincentivize or slow down that kind of demand? You raise the cost of borrowing. And so that's what interest rates do. They raise the cost of borrowing. The problem is that the runaway inflation that we have today is not caused by high growth. It is caused by two very basic factors. One is that this president and these Democrats in Congress shut down a huge chunk of the energy sector. So energy goes into everything. It goes into groceries that are transferred. It goes into fertilizer. It goes into everything. Everything requires energy. And so when you shut down 60%, currently 60% of the power grid is run on fossil fuels. When you shut down a huge chunk of the fossil fuel economy, it immediately spikes prices for everything. I mean, the price, you know, you hear this statement by Biden that somehow there's a reduction in inflation. So let me give you hard numbers. That's not true. First of all, for older Americans who have a different basket of goods than, you know, just outside entertainment and lipstick, okay, the older Americans are very concerned about housing costs, energy costs, medical costs, rental housing that you don't own. Maybe it's assisted living, jumped 26% in the last 1 year. Older Americans don't tend to, unless they've got extra wealth, they don't tend to go out and buy a brand new car every time. They are, like me, they buy a used car.
Mm-hmm.
The inflation rate associated with a used car over the last 1 year is 43%.
Wow.
And you could go down through, so gasoline. Okay, gasoline. When he took office, Biden took office, it was $1.98. And today it's about average something like $3.75. So has it come down from $5? Yes, it has. But at $3.75, that's 88% higher than it was when he took office. So here's the bottom line. Inflation is devastating, and interest rates are being hiked to respond to Biden's inflation. The problem is the inflation is running away because of federal overspending, because of shutting down the energy market. And, raising interest rates isn't going to solve your problem. It's just going to create stagflation, which is what Jimmy Carter suffered in the 70s, and we all suffered.
And it stuck with him for a long time. We've got to take the break. We're late for you. They'd like to get out at 7:15 and hear our break. That's okay. Sheila and I are listening closely. And by the way, when we come back, he'll tell you about how you can join AARP. And there's a...
No, AMAC.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Because I messed up. The alternative... I'm an AMAC member. I get that. We'll come back. He'll tell you there's a fee you can pay, and you kind of get a longer-term membership. We'll be right back. Herb's here. Sheila's here. And I want to ask him about the lies we're hearing about the fall election. We'll be right back on Good Morning Ozarks. Welcome back to Good Morning Ozarks, where we have the opportunity to talk to our friend from the great state of Maine. Spends a lot of his time in Washington, D.C., where he's been a leader in our government for a long time. And when Bobby Charles talks, I listen. Mm-hmm. AMAC, my wife, when the magazine comes, grabs that. It's a good magazine. Mm-hmm. And Sheila, I'm going to let Bobby tell you how you and your husband can join. Bobby?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. If you look around today if you really are concerned about the state of the world and you want both advocacy and you want economic benefits, benefits that will help you, percentages off various things.
Mm-hmm.
The truth be told, plus you want access to things like real personal advice on Social Security benefits or veterans benefits. You get it all in this package, and it's literally pennies on the dollar. And you go to AMAC.us. You can join for a year, or if you join for 5 years. You actually get a copy of my book, Eagles and Evergreens, signed and sent to you. It's to be honest, I even think that that book makes a good Christmas gift. People could, you can join and get benefits of a kind that are parallel to what you get elsewhere. But the reality is you're also getting advocacy. And, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you on things we were closing off the air a minute ago there, or going to break, we talked about election integrity. AMAC has been working closely in all the state legislatures to assure that your vote counts, and to be honest, what's more important in a democracy today, and so at the end of the day, in many ways AMAC represents the legacy of Ronald Reagan. I like to think it's mm-hmm. it's less government, lower taxes, fidelity to the Constitution, strong defense, a strong defense of citizenship, the borders, certainly putting in context threats from abroad. And, this organization makes a difference. And I, the reason I am a part of it is because it really is. I worked in the Reagan and Bush 41 White Houses, and I was an assistant secretary of state. I was also a naval intelligence officer for 10 years. And I think this organization represents the best of America. And I think if you want to contribute to the future and get benefits along the way, it's a simple, AMAC.us, go to membership, and you immediately, you get all the benefits. Their magazine is extraordinary. You're right.
Bobby, let's do a little bookkeeping here. Can you look at your schedule and see if, are you available at 9:05 or are you out of pocket?
I could do 9:05, sure.
Because there's so many things we want to talk about. We've got an author coming up in just a moment.
Oh, his time, 9:05. Okay. Because people listening will be listening at 8:05.
Good, if you're in May. It's a good point, Sheila.
Yeah, look, across the board, 8:05 is great, and 9:05 is great. And, look, you're doing God's work out there, and I appreciate it. And in the end, people need to hear real truth, and they need to hear real news. And a lot of what we get is just nonsense.
Oh, that's go ahead,
it's
Sheila.
Not even news anymore.
This is where I wanted to hit. I wrote down something on the bottom of my notes today called lies.
Yeah.
I want to... What is the truth about the fall elections? Do I have a desire in my heart for it to be a sweeping overturn, a red wave? But you're not going to hear that on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN. The View, none of that. But yet, if you read some of the articles that come out, and they want to think that this election about abortion. Let me read you a little statistic from my mind, so I can't read it to you. Number 9 in the order of priorities.
Is abortion.
Number 9, Bobby, the abortion issue. Yeah. Not number 1, Bobby.
Yeah, I have several quick thoughts for you on that. The first is the issue that outpolls all others in virtually all of these polls, including, you know, the ones that are liberal and neutral, of course, your polls are defined by the questions you ask. And when I say liberal, I mean
you ask
a question looking for a liberal answer, you're going to get one. But the up to 20% above all the other issues is the economy.
Economy,
and that's because,
exactly.
Yeah, people see that this price inflation is driving. Frankly, it's driving people nuts. Your cost of living in many cases has doubled, and it doesn't need to be that way. It was not driven by some earthquake somewhere.
Yeah.
It was not driven by a current former foreign war. It was driven by this president shutting down big chunks of the energy sector, and then this Congress spending $3 trillion over regular order since he was inaugurated. if you have too few dollars chasing, if you have too many dollar bills chasing too little real wealth, which is to say, we are not, the taxes we collect, which are high enough already, do not cover the spending in a given year, which has now happened 2 years in a row under this administration. That's called a deficit, and it adds to the national debt, which is now $30 trillion. Yeah. All of that drives inflation. So on the polling, I will say, look, this election is critical. And the pollsters that I know who are really solid say that many, many Republicans, for the first time, really, have decided they're not going to put a bumper sticker on their car. They're not going to put a sign up. Mm-hmm. They don't want their house raided by the FBI.
Right.
They're not interested in getting their mailbox whacked off.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to be who they're going to be. Now, that's a sad point because it's chilling of speech. But it's a positive point when it comes to this election, because the idea is that there is a submerged vote that is very likely to appear as long as we all go to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that right now in our county, we are not in Pennsylvania where the FBI went and got a Catholic pro-life protester.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff's got to quit. There's a few things we're going to talk about when we come back, and we just don't have time. We have an author coming up on, you'll love this one, Alpha Nerd. Trendsetter, world changer. His name is Steve Rampton. To remind you again, Running the Bases, Meet the Director Night. I sent this to Bobby so he can look for it in his theater. 417-337-8455. Again, 417-337-8455. Ticket price is $5, and it's October the 4th, 7 o'clock. Join us. Now, when we come back, there's a few things I want to talk about with Bobby Sheely. Ready? Number one, Ms. Psaki. She was the press secretary who probably did a very, very good job compared to the one that's there now. And she said, and I'll let Bobby come in on this when we come back, if the referendum is on Biden, we're in trouble. We're going to talk about Iran, China, illegal immigration, all tied to Democratic voting, and the almost contract with America like Newt Gingrich did. Bobby, take a little break, have some great Maine coffee, some maple syrup. We'll see you at 8:05.
That sounds great.
See you, brother. Bye-bye. Bobby Charles back with us today from the great state of Maine, the author of Evergreens, the book that he interviews veterans. He loves veterans. He loves America, and he is a great American. Bobby Charles back with us. Bobby, let's pick right back up where we were talking before. Who in the world can we listen to? Because Ms. Psaki said, I'm going to tell you what she said. Sheila, you ready? Can you place her? She was the...
Okay.
Here's what she said.
Yeah.
If the referendum is on Joe Biden, the Democrats lose. Did you see that comment, Bobby?
I did see that comment. And, quite frankly, it probably elevated her credibility in my mind dramatically.
From a zero to at least a one or two.
That's exactly right. If you're at 1% and you double it, you've had a 100% increase. So the reality is it's a fact, okay? I mean, I think average Americans know this. I mean, I always retreat to the basic common sense of average Americans, and I consider myself one of those people. And I grew up in a town of 500, as you indicated, and you know it's a reality. The economy is a disaster. Afghanistan was a disaster. Foreign relations are a disaster. Yeah. The crime rate is a disaster. Beyond inflation, other economic indicators are a disaster. The border's a disaster. So, you know, if this is about the guy that has been the author of all those things, and I think it's sort of almost too cute by half, because the reality is they hide behind the notion that people have a hard time blaming a guy who can barely get a word out, you know, and is fading fast.
What a perfect setup,
what a perfect setup, exactly, mm-hmm. Sheila. What a perfect setup. You got to put the cardboard guy out there and let him stumble around a little, and then people feel, well, they can't, you know, I mean, he can't really be held accountable because he's not really all there. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, you've got Pelosi and Schumer and Harris and Garland and all these others pushing a truly leftist agenda, and it's destroying the country. I mean, let's be frank about it. The reason this commitment for America or to America has emerged again, which is very similar to what emerged in 1994, when Newt Gingrich introduced the contract with America, again, which in its own turn was essentially a reintroduction of the core ideas that Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush had stood for, particularly Reagan. The reason we're back to this again is because Americans want a working economy. They want a job that pays well. They want a dollar that holds its value because, frankly, AMAC members, a lot of them are on fixed incomes. They want the country to be respected internationally. They don't want you running away and leaving 100,000 allies on the ground to die in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
They do not want a government compromised by China. And the notion that we should just turn the other way and look away as they seek world dominance. No, they don't. Americans want the America that has been America to this date. And have we always had disagreements politically? Of course we have. That's what makes us different. It's what Alex de Tocqueville said in the 1830s makes us so special. We are okay with the uncomfortable face-to-face. We don't get violent. We resolve our issues together in a town meeting or somewhere. And the truth be told, this administration represents canceling people, suppression of speech, suppression of worship. I mean, during COVID, trying to keep people from getting to churches, suppression of your right to defend your family with the Second Amendment, suppression of your safety in your homes. I mean, the Fourth Amendment is all about being secure from unreasonable search and seizure. And you've got a former president of the United States. They swept in and sucked up just about everything they could get out of his house in 9 hours.
Yeah.
That, to me, is an outrage. Mm-hmm. And I think Americans may not like Trump, but they do understand their constitutional rights and the Bill of Rights. And when you see those violated, it hurts.
Let's go back to another poll question, because I want to talk about sanctuary cities. Keith, Sheila, you can be Keith today.
Yeah.
Sheila, describe for me, from your perspective, if I said to you, Chicago, San Francisco, New York, just to name a few, a sanctuary city to you, in your terms, what would you call that, a sanctuary city?
What would I call a sanctuary city? Farce. I mean,
what are they inviting? Who are they saying, come here?
Well, they're saying that they, I mean, just like the brochure that was handed to the 50 people that went into Martha's Vineyard came out of Massachusetts, and it said, you know, we've got food for you, we've got jobs for you, we've got training for you, we've got schools for you. And that was what they were given. And then they said that DeSantis made the promise, but it was actually the state of Massachusetts that made the promise. And when they get there, what do? They ship them out to another location because they have nothing for them.
Sheila, the American people are not stupid.
Yeah.
Go to the border. Go to Texas. They're coming over in droves, and you get 50 or 100 or two busloads say we're overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah, we're overwhelmed. That was the most hilarious comment. We're overwhelmed by
And American
50
people. Listen to one of the polls.
Martha's Vineyard.
American people said, we don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, right.
Send them where they want them. Do you agree, Bobby?
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting. I do my best to keep my own sense of humor about all this stuff. But you've had more than 2 million illegal aliens literally waved into this country.
Exactly.
And And in the event that they're intercepted, they've released 1.3 million back into the country. So this is, you know, seven ways from Sunday. This takes me in a bad direction. I mean, of course, it's hypocrisy 101 when you send 50 of these illegals to the elite swanky getaway of Martha's Vineyard. I mean, frankly, you know, send 50,000. Okay,
yeah,
I don't care. Let them take over Martha's Vineyard. I really, I know that sounds harsh, but the reality is the hypocrisy has now become so profound that, in truth, you have plane loads arriving. I mean, they're arriving everywhere from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine, and they arrive at night, and you know, the infrastructure of most of the places these people are sent ends up being overwhelmed. And you want to talk, I mean, yeah, of course, maybe it did overwhelm the infrastructure there on Martha's Vineyard since they haven't got much for homeless.
Yeah.
But the reality is...
The former president owns a home that gets...
Well, let me interrupt.
Go to the border. I mean, if you go to the border, you'll see little towns and businesses going bankrupt and people... You can't imagine how bad it is.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Americans realize that whether you're in Indianapolis or New York or you know, Miami or Missouri, this problem is coming to a town or a city or a state near you. And I think we need to, you know, it's interesting. This actually polls second, I think, to the economy in a lot of these polls, because people say you're not being serious about the enforcement of law.
Right.
And that's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we see this across this administration. The fact that they wouldn't, for example, enforce 18 U.S.C. 1507, which protects Supreme Court justices after the cops disappear, I think it's wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah. I want to not correct something you said, but just to emphasize, the plane loads you were talking about to Maine and other places were by the government.
Yeah, right.
The government at night.
Right.
Okay.
By the federal government.
Yes, the federal government.
Yes.
Hey, we got to take a quick break on time. This time, Sheila Art, Bobby Charles, we'll be back. We got some other topics. When Bobby Charles, it's like the old E.F. Hutton. When Bobby Charles talks,
you want to listen.
We listen. We'll be right back on Good Morning Ozarks. Thank you, Herbert. Welcome back with Sheila Art, Charlie Ingram, and Bobby Charles here this morning. So many things we want to cover.
I was going to say, I would love to have a couple hours. Just
oh, it's crazy. Read his articles at AMAC and go online and do that.
I'm looking forward to that.
AMAC.us. Yeah. Bobby, a couple of things that you said that I want to spend a little time on. We can't have a discussion without you being canceled. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Chiefs. You want to talk about the Patriots. So be it. We're different fans, but we have fun talking about it. You want to talk about the liberal side of debt forgiveness for student loans? I want to talk about it. I don't think it should be that way. I want to talk about being pro-life. You want to talk about being pro-choice. Why don't we have discussions? But when you go to bring it up, it's like, I'll say it, shut up, go over there and sit down and walk into your church, shut the door, and don't say anything about Jesus outside of those doors. Mm-hmm. That's what the Democratic Party is screaming at us, Bobby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we were to step back 20 paces, what you see is that there has been an intentional devaluation of the idea that we can disagree with each other agreeably and even, frankly, have an argument. That used to be, has always been standard fare. And, you know, I've been in 50 countries around the world, a lot of places in the world from, you know, I won't name them, but all kinds of places, you can get killed for disagreeing publicly with the government.
Right.
And of course, you know, what we're really talking about is that people are advocating for positions that are sort of radical, that are being advanced by this government, and then they're disagreeing with those that are advancing those ideas. And that is the way democracy works. The whole principle of democracy from the Constitutional Convention, actually from before the Constitutional Convention, is the idea that two people disagreeing will eventually, if they can work on the idea of persuasion, and there are people listening, and that you will eventually distill truth. The idea is that you're after truth, and we can disagree about what truth is, and we can walk away from that discussion or conversation or argument with a disagreement, but we've enlightened somebody and we may have even enlightened ourselves or each other in the process. And I think one of the most fascinating things about the Constitutional Convention is that during that entire 3 months, in addition to there being no leaks to the press If you look at Madison's notes, what you discover is that they disagreed with each other as harshly as we do today.
Right.
They disagreed on all kinds of things. And do you know that they never once, not once in 3 months, did any member, and they were at each other's throats, not once did any member criticize another member for changing their mind. Mm-hmm. So when the Second Amendment came up and the question was how broad, how when they finally conceded, people had the humility to say, you know what? I think you're right about that. I'm wrong about that.
Right.
I'll go with where you're.
Right.
We've lost that,
yeah,
that touch of our fingertips, and we need it.
I'm going to lead you into the next topic, and this could be the worst example I've ever given. But let's just say you represent a group called the Anti-Sandbaggers, and you represent the flood control people.
Right.
Wait a minute. We got to have flood control, and you don't even want sandbags. Would you tell me about the Inflation Reduction Act?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another problem that we are confronting, and we need to speak candidly about it. I've written a number of columns, basically one which you can find online at amac.us is How Republics Die. And republics die when you suppress speech.
Right.
And when you suppress speech together with suppression of our Second Amendment rights puts you in a position where the people are powerless and a concentrated power or centralized government controls things. The one of the ways, I mean, George Orwell, Aldous Huxley, and lots of nonfiction writers, those are fiction writers, wrote about the possibility that a government would get so powerful it would start changing the language.
Right.
In other words, you get to a point where boys and girls aren't boys and girls anymore. You can't use the word illegal alien anymore. The truth is twisted. I just read the Air Force Academy doesn't want cadets talking about mom and dad. But you know what? At a certain point, you're trying to upend all of human biology, history, math, everything about who we are. And I think it overwhelms people, and they say, you know what? I'm not in for that. You can't redefine my life that way. The sun still rises in the east, even if you tell me it rises in the west. I'm not going to talk about it rising in the West because it rises in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is another one of these issues. And I do sort of wish that we could be more constructive than destructive. And we find it, you know, today it's easy, to borrow a phrase, you know, it takes a carpenter to build a barn, but any jackass can kick it down.
Sure.
And that's the situation we're in right now, in which everybody is in a deconstructive mode. And I think if you could just pause for a minute, look at the Dobbs decision, for example, and say, look, Ronald Reagan used to say, and I worked for Ronald Reagan, he used to say, in effect, he would say, I'm not here to judge you. It's not my job to judge you. And I don't know. Republicans and Democrats, neither one of us know when life begins. So if somebody says they know, they don't. Only God knows. But because we know that the error would be very grave if we're wrong, we have to err on the side of caution.
Yeah,
absolutely. When Joe Biden will not answer the question, how much is enough?
Yeah.
When are the years?
Well, there are no absolutes anymore. Yes.
In all honesty, we have a Supreme Court justice now sitting that can't define a woman.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Bobby,
she was at some point. I just wanted to make a comment. I was listening to our local news last night out of Springfield, Missouri, and the newscaster for the local area and has been on that program for years, conservative, I know this person, and instead of talking about abortion, they were referring to it as reproductive rights.
Oh my, yes.
And that just crushed me. I thought, have they been so, I mean, if you've been watching that channel for years, as I have, you've seen the change into a more liberal view, and it's obviously dictated by the association with a major, I think, NBC or whatever. But when I heard that come out of their mouth, I thought, we're accepting, we're buying into the lies that are being told.
Yeah.
And all the words are used to soften the blow of what abortion really is. Reproductive rights. What does abortion have to do with reproductive rights?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Well, of course, that's a phrase that really gained currency after the Roe v. Wade decision, which inferred, or actually found,
said,
a right in the Constitution, which now we know really isn't. But we knew it all along. In fact, legal scholars, right after the Roe decision was decided, quietly and by consensus, said there is no right of the kind that they've just found in the text. Nor is there even an imputable right. And so all you've done now is gone back to the status quo ante. You're back to where you had two-thirds of the states prior to that had had anti-abortion laws.
Right.
And on the issue of, you know, reproductive rights, that question, you know, the language we use to describe something, you know, you can sugarcoat all kinds of things in life. You know, we talk about negligent homicide instead of the brutality of murder.
We
try hard. You know, the human mind avers, it goes away from things that it doesn't like to think about.
Right.
But the worst part about this is it reminds me of what I saw in Eastern Europe now, you know, in the 80s. I spent a lot of time in Poland and in Czechoslovakia and actually even in the Soviet Union. Mm. And what happened is people are afraid. There was no spontaneity of conversation in those places, except if you were behind closed doors, because people were afraid. And when you see the language changing and you see a network like you're describing changing their language because it's really, you have to go to motivation. They're afraid.
Yeah.
And fear is not how a democracy or a republic should work.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Bobby and Sheila, I pulled the article up about the Air Force classes about mom and dad, and I stuck it out the window to a contractor that was standing by my car, and I said, read this. I love his answer. I don't care what that says. I have a mom and a dad. As we wrap up this morning, Bobby, this has been, again, thank you for being with us. Do we have unlikely partners between Barry Sanders and Republicans to help defeat what Manchin did?
Yeah, you know, I think what you're going to find is that there, the answer on that issue looks like yes. And I think that the interesting part is what you end up finding, just like bad guys meet together, if you will, in a, you know, communism, socialism, and fascism are all basically, when they reach their apex, they're all totalitarianism.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, when people of all political persuasions see their rights to speak or the value of their dollar or their right to protect their family or their right to go to church or their right to go to a synagogue or their right to go to a mosque being circumscribed, being thrown out the window, being stomped on by a centralized government, they unify in saying, no. I mean, you know, you think about it for a minute. The freedom-loving people of Poland unified the conservatives, whatever you think conservative is, whatever you think liberal or classical liberal is, or even anything short of communism, they all unified behind the Solidarity movement, Solidarność, and that movement is what brought down communism in Poland, and arguably with Reagan and Thatcher and Pope John Paul II brought down communism, you know, across the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. So good people unite to stop bad things, and that's a good thing.
Thank you.
Bobby and Sheila, I want to mention something from yesterday. Bobby, I'm going to send you the podcast. On our program yesterday was a gentleman from Kiev, Ukraine, who received a shoebox from a Samaritan's Purse. They call it the Full Circle recipient, where somebody got a shoebox living in Ukraine, now came to the United States with his parents, graduated between Ohio State University and Tennessee, lives here now, and I want to send you that interview. You will be refreshed with what he says.
I love it. And, you know, people should understand the Republican Party is very pro-legal immigration. We have always been that because naturalized Americans are the most patriotic people that walk the planet.
Absolutely.
They understand freedom because they understand the absence of freedom.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we got a problem. We didn't get to Iran. We didn't get to China. We didn't get to Putin. We'll do it again next Tuesday.
I suppose they'll be there for us when we come back.
I'm sure they will. God bless you, Bobby Charles.
Good to meet you. God bless
you. Real pleasure.
See you.
And I encourage people to go to amac.us because it's a great place to get more of this.
Don't miss it. And when I mess up and say a dirty word like AARP, forgive me.
Yeah.
I don't mean to do that. It's Good Morning Ozarks, 88.1 FC, Bobby.